Welcome back to the Chad Hastie Show on News Talk 790 KFYO and online at KFYO.com. We get to do something a little special today. We don't often do this, but there are very important elections out there. And right now in District 3, a very important runoff election. And joining me in studio for a live debate here on KFYO is Deanne Clark and Jeff Griffith, candidates running in this runoff for District 3 City Council. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Good morning. Thank you.
Appreciate y'all coming in studio today. We have as many questions as we can get through in an hour of radio. We will get into, and they're going to cover a wide range of issues. And Deanne, we're going to go ahead and start off with a question for you. Public trust with LPNL. It's an LPNL question, and public trust, as you know, very low. Bills are going up. Do you believe it's the right move for the Electric Utility Board to fire Gary Zing, even though it could cost the city up to $700,000? And also, do you think the right structure is in place for LPNL and the city to succeed in the future?
Okay. It must be the right thing because of what they're learning. I, of course, do not know the details of that part, but the relationships have been poor. When they hired Matt Rose, it helped a great deal. He's a PR guy, and he's really tried to make a better name for them. The more they try to work with the people, keep the rates low, and that sort of thing, that's where it is. People are tired of the bickering, and I don't know what it's going to take to get the city and the LPNL to get along. But if they'll keep the people in mind and their needs, and it does seem that they've started to do that, and if the people who receive the people at the front doors will be open to them, I think things can improve.
You think the right structure is in place as far as the dynamic between the city council and LPNL, or would you like to see a little more control from the city over LPNL?
Well, I would like to see the city controlling the finances because they've kind of gotten out of hand in parties and salaries and the various hiring. But it's going to take a mindset that we're going to want to get along. And I'm telling you, the people out in on the streets are ready for it.
Jeff, what is your response to that?
This has been a real big problem. And I believe that we've got a major issue with Dr. Zing, and maybe we do not pay him his severance if more wrongdoing comes out. So I think jury's still out on that. But after what's come out just in the past few days, I think that the city needs to make – we need to make – sure that there wasn't any wrongdoing, and some of the EUB members are understanding this now, and I appreciate the work that those folks do. And to the point about how our Electric Utility Board versus City Council is set up, Chad, mm-hmm. I believe that we have the right structure. I think our charter proved that we had an election back in, I think it was 2004, where 83% of the folks voted that to have separate utility board because the city council had raided some of the LPNL funds. So we need that separation, and we need people micro-focused on LPNL going forward.
Deanne, do you agree with that separation? You know, there have been a lot of folks who have said, well, maybe we need to bring, LPNL, a little bit closer to the city council, or does that separation need to be there? I think even the mayor has gone back and forth on this.
Well, I agree. I do think the separation needs to be there. It's just that we've got to get away from that competition vying for power and for answers. And gosh, we've got some really fine people that are now serving on the LPNL board, and that we need expertise. But I don't think a city needs to run a electric power company.
Let's talk about one of the big issues that either one of you are going to face if elected, and that's the city budget. And yesterday, there was a work session on the budget. You have two council members already that have come out and said, hey, tax increase. We're ready for a tax increase. Floyd Price yesterday told KJTV that he's ready for the tax increase for the budget, a 2.5 cent property tax increase. Jeff, question goes to you first. If elected, how do you tackle the budget? What are some of your priorities going to be when it comes to the budget? And also, would you support that 2.5 cent property tax rate increase?
I do not support it. I do not think we should have a property tax increase. We've got to live within our means. And we've had issues with this in the past. One reason that Lubbock is a great place to live is because we have decent property tax values. We don't need to increase them. It could do futuristic harm to our city. And we have to live within our means. I really think that that's important. And that is a primary goal of mine, to make sure that we live within our means.
If we do that, does that mean there are places in the budget we need to cut? If so, what are some of those? What are some of those services? What are some of those areas?
Chad, obviously I'm not privy to all the data at City Hall, but I've been in business for over 30 years, and I can assure you that in any business, or especially in government, obviously not just local, state, and federal, I mean any form of government, there is waste. And we can definitely tighten our belt and live within our means. There are very important things, core services that we can't do without. We've got to take care of those items. We've got to live within our means.
Dan?
Everything's going up, of course. I had the privilege of attending that budget session, and it was truly an eye-opener in that the serious attitude of the people toward dealing with these costs and the difference between wants and needs came up several times. It's interesting, isn't it, that the two men who represent areas that struggle the most thought that we could have a tax increase. There are going to be ways that we can meet the core issues, as you say, with what we have. Now, it may require a little shifting. It may require changing the ways that we do things or reducing somebody that may be a very private pet fund, but it can be done, and the figures are out there. Plus, we have a natural growth of 23.7, I think it is, and I know that that goes quickly because they counted yesterday that Medicaid's going up and that the affordable health care, all those things are going to cause us to maybe reduce bus lines, which is another painful thing. But anyway, there is money if it is carefully managed.
Jeff, any response?
With the growth that we have, that's going to help us tremendously. Our property tax growth is already happening, and our sales tax growth is already happening. Mm-hmm. And those are two items that will help us in the future, but we've got to live within our means, period.
Is there any room, and we have a couple minutes before we have to take the break, so I'll ask this question real quick. Is there any room for a property tax decrease? We've seen that in Austin. We've seen it in some other cities. Is there any room, you think, for a property tax decrease, Dan?
Well, the philosophy is, of course, that when you free the people to have more money to spend, they do it, and the sales tax goes up. And so there might be. We'd really have to look at that.
I don't think there is.
Okay.
I think we've got to stay where we're at.
All right. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our debate between Jeff Griffith and Deanne Clark. Here on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Trust me, we still got many issues to get into. We'll be right back. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. Joining me in studio, Deanne Clark, Jeff Griffith, running for City Council in District 3 runoff election. Early voting underway, and Election Day is on the 21st. So District 3 residents, be sure to listen this entire hour, figure out who you want to vote for, and then go out there and vote once you've made a decision. Of course, we've seen nationwide and here locally that voter turnout has been low. So that means every vote really, really does matter here for the candidates. Let's get back into these questions, and Jeff, we'll start off with you. And the Lubbock Chamber of Commerce questionnaire that that has been talked about, you supported some different projects, including the monorail project for downtown. You were endorsed by your opponent, who didn't shy away from raising taxes. You've heard the criticism that's been thrown your way that those two things show that you're going to be a big spender, that you want to increase taxes, that you're going to come in as a big government type of guy. What's your response to that?
First of all, as far as support of the monorail and visionary projects, it's great to have vision for our city. Think about it. The initiatives we've had in the past, whether it be the Loop, Lake Allen Henry, great initiatives that we needed. And it's great to see those come to fruition. The light rail monorail project is obviously a dream that's way out there. Right now, we can't even afford to take care of our city transit or bus department. So we've got to really look at the bottom line is that it's great, Chad, to look, but it is not an issue that I would fund with city dollars. I've never said that. I don't know where that came from. I said that it's great to look at. And just like the Outer Loop, let's add that one in there, because our city does need to look at future initiatives, but it is not a item that should be funded by tax dollars, by our citizens, unless the citizens want to pay for it with a bond election. And, you know, as far as taxer, I mean, I'm the one that just announced just in the past few days ways, solutions to cap our debt within the general fund debt. And some of our debt is revenue-based. We've got to have water. We've got to have power. But the bottom line is, no, I'm just opposite. I'm extremely conservative when it comes to the funding of our city.
Dan?
Long before this campaign, when I was going to the city council to speak and I begged them to watch the money and to control the debt and that we would gain $120 million in service fees or in interest by not having the huge debt that we have. Now, even that debt does not cover everything. It doesn't cover the Gateway Fund. It doesn't cover the master lease. So there's always even more money. And of course, there's a projected police building. And my gosh, timing is everything. And the time is not now. Dream if you want to. As Jeff says, fund these things with private monies. But our people are struggling and hurting, and the increases in cost of living are not coming down. They're starting way at the top and coming down, and people are feeling it. So the answer is, of course, let us be frugal. Let us find those ways to help our people and include them in the decisions.
Is there a problem with looking into the future and seeing what may come about? Some of your supporters have said looking ahead at the outer loop or a half outer loop, whatever it may be, a light rail system, we don't need to even concentrate on any of that.
I agree, because as I said, the timing is important, and Jeff has clarified that today by saying these are dreams and visions that perhaps somebody else could afford. Time after time in walking, the people have said, we're little. We need to take care of what we already have, which, of course, has been one of my thrusts from the beginning. I appeared before the city council with lots of pictures showing disrepair. And they're getting ready to improve some of those things, of course. But that is a huge expense, as we learned in the budget hearing yesterday. So we better address that first and dream a little bit later.
Any response?
The thing that is very important here is that from the standpoint of Lake Allen Henry, from the standpoint of Marshall Sharp Freeway, I want to clarify that those started as dreams. And thank goodness we have them. And the group that Deanne's a part of didn't want any part of that. So, yes, we do have to spend some money on long-term projects. Look where we'd be without Lake Allen Henry.
It's always a matter of choice as to where you want to spend your money. It's the same as you have at your home. You have to decide what you're going to repair, when you can have a different car, and all that kind of thing. If there were not those people who say, be cautious, be wise, let's think these things over, you've got to have a balance. Those who want to try for things, those who want to say, be careful because we're hurting our people. And then you have to allow for people to invest their own money and stay out of the public money, because it is easier to spend someone else's money.
Let me ask you both this, and we have a few minutes left here before the bottom of the hour break. It's something that neither of you would absolutely decide on yourselves, but you would have influence, and you would talk to different lawmakers that would, and this ties into downtown Lubbock revitalization, an issue that has been huge. When it comes to a push by the chamber for a 1 cent sales tax increase, where do you stand on that? If you had a lawmaker, state rep that came in to the city council and said, hey, I want, you know, you guys are in tune with what the public wants, what would you tell them when it comes down to the 1 cent sales tax increase? Deanne, we'll start with you.
I'd say absolutely not, because it will get us about $42 million, which would just entitle some people to spend some more money. There is money already in downtown Lubbock. We have two TIFs that are in operation. They won't be paid out until 30 and 40. We have a mineral fund that some people want to divert to downtown Lubbock. We have an eyesore building that could be considered to house all of the city offices and the police department, and could perhaps provide some saving. We have taxes that are being drawn that were voted out already. There's money, and it's already going into those things, and it is progressing, maybe slower than some people want, but absolutely not on a 1 cent sales tax.
Jeff?
We have, first of all, great growth in downtown. The natural growth, organic growth, is happening. I'm excited about new bank appearing. Obviously, car dealerships that are addressing the south end. We have there's a restaurant going into the bottom of the Pioneer Hotel that I'm very proud of. I was involved in putting those two together. We've got a downtown area that is going to come together. There's more projects on the way. There's an oil company that's doing a fantastic job with a remodel of a building. And I see the Performing Arts Center, the Baseball Hall of Fame, those projects are coming to fruition. And I'm excited about the natural evolution and growth of downtown. I don't think we need a 1 cent sales tax.
So you would not support it?
No.
All right. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we have more here on this debate, here on the Chad HD Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. We'll be right back. All right, back to the Chad HD Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. In studio with me, Deanne Clark and Jeff Griffith, running in the runoff election for District 3 City Council. Early voting underway right now. And Election Day on June 21st. Jeff, I want to go back to something you said earlier and ask you this question. You said that there's always room in a budget, especially in a government budget where there's waste in it. At the same time, you said there's probably no room for a tax decrease. If you have extra revenue from city growth that's coming in, how is there no room for a decrease when there's waste in the budget?
Well, when I say there's waste, and we don't know what that waste is, but I'll give you a perfect example. here we are in stage two drought, and when our city bleed, our fire department's not the fire department's fault, but when we bleed our fire hydrants, they run the water in the streets. It's not collected. That water could be used to water our parks. I mean, there is all kinds of issues we've got, and like I said, in any business, there's always waste. Now, if finding those exact things, and some of them may be in motor vehicles, some of them may be in leases, some of them may, I mean, there is lots of avenues to look at, but, I believe that our city growth, what we've got to do there, with the tax, sales tax increases that we've had, the revenue from that, and some of the revenue from the property tax increases as our city's growing, is let's take a percentage of that and utilize to pay down our debt. That's very, very important that we pay down our debt. And I proposed to capping general fund debt for the next 2 years, with the exception of emergencies. And I believe that we've got to pay down debt. And most of our debt is revenue-based, and it'll get paid.
Dan?
All right. Rather than perhaps giving a decrease, I would like to see two other things done. One, there's a 3 cents property tax that's being taken, though the voters voted it out. I think it was in 92. But anyway, it's continued to be extracted from the people. I'm with Jeff in this. Let's use that 3.2 million, I believe it is, and start whittling away at the debt. That's going to free up some service. It's going to make us in a better condition. The other area that I'd really like to see the beginning, rather than the reduction of property tax or the taxes you were talking about, is the hidden taxes on LP&L. Because that not only is hitting businesses because they're being taxed on their assets, and we're calling it fees, of course, and we don't get that benefit from our income tax deductions, but also the people who are behind on utilities or struggling to pay utilities are really paying more than utilities. Now, this is mostly on the water. Very little is LP&L electricity. It's on the water issues, and it's rising. About $29 million is going to be hard to live without, and has increased about $10 million in the last 5 years. Each person in a family has about $500 stake in that. So those two areas, using the money that shouldn't have been taken in the first place to pay down the debt, secondly, giving the people some relief from the hidden taxes with LP&L, where they are hurting so badly.
We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about this a little bit more, because the hidden taxes argument is something we want to delve into a little bit more when we come back. We also have a few more questions left, and then final statements from the candidates. Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. In studio with me, Jeff Griffith, Deanne Clark, running in the runoff election for District 3 City Council. Jeff, I want to ask you about the hidden fees, hidden taxes argument. This is something that Maurice Stanley, who endorsed you, he's been taking to Facebook a lot lately, saying that there are no hidden fees, there are no hidden taxes. You've heard some of that from other opponents, from other other folks out there who have criticized Deanne that they're not hidden. They're listed right there on the LPNL bill. Are there really hidden fees and taxes? And if there are, and you're going to get rid of them, if you do agree with her on it, how do you make up that money if you make up that money?
There is a real good answer to this. They are on the bill. Franchise fee is on the bill. I don't like it, just like Ms. Clark doesn't like it. And we don't like the way it's calculated, but it is on the bill. It's been on my bill for years, unfortunately, and we all have to pay it. Other municipalities have to pay that bill. If we elect to get out of that, then you're probably talking about a property tax increase, because that has to pay. And if you look at an Atmos bill, a Suddenlink bill, those are also taxed. And every one of them is listed that I've ever seen. And other cities across Texas do the same thing. It's a very, very normal way of paying for the right-of-way down our alleys. We have to pay for that. And I don't like it either, but I do not believe it is hidden. I believe it shows up on my bill every month, and I can show them to you.
Dan?
That is not so. It is on the water primarily that the hidden taxes are the franchise fees and the pilot fees. I brought a couple of budgets for you, pages of the budget, page 18, page 19, where they are listed there. They are not listed on our bill at this time on the water side. LPNL has tried to be more transparent, but we haven't. They will have to be phased. They cannot do without that $29 million right away. It's going to have to be slow. We made some calls to some cities around Lubbock, being Laredo and Plano, and the lady in Laredo said they'd have no one left in their town if they taxed utilities. Irving has a small 2% franchise fee. Garland, Amarillo, no, except maybe a little bit to Excel. So that is not so that other places are taking the taxes as we are. Now then, it would be the honest, clean, upright thing to do to start phasing those out. And as we've said several times today, in other areas, pull some monies out of there to help make the difference. And of course, always, we've got to watch the spending.
Well, if we pull the money out, and if we gradually do this, where we get rid of the you know, fees and taxes that are on this bill, is Jeff right that we have to increase taxes eventually?
Oh, no, it is not right. There are other areas, and I have suggested some of those. They might be painful to someone to take a certain Lita gets about $9 million, and they can operate with less than that. There's one example. So there just are some other areas where people might have to shift. We've got some mineral revenues that they're trying to divert, and so we need to watch that. Of course, I certainly want Northeast Lubbock to get the things they want, streets and lights and parks and so on. But it's prioritizing, which is something that has been said in my campaign from the very first. A committee kind of helped decide what were important things and prioritizing our expenses. And, you know, at listening to the budget session yesterday, I think there's an effort to try to do that. And I was a little bit encouraged.
Jeff, any response?
Though, again, I do not like them. I don't like the way they're calculated, but we have to pay for the right-of-way down our alleys, whether it be for water, electrical, or the communications. So those fees are, it's done all over. And there's many municipalities across this state that do it, and I don't like it, but we need to do it. If we have to be honest with ourselves, we've got to handle our alleyways and what goes up and down our alleys.
What about what Deanne said? You said that property taxes would have to go up if we got rid of it. Deanne says, no, they don't. We can cut in other places.
Well, there is a way that folks that are over 65 years of age, that their property taxes are fixed and will never go up. That would be great for anybody under 65. That would not be good because it will go up eventually. It may not immediately, but it will go up, I believe.
Let me ask you both this before we take the final break, and we'll start with Jeff here. How do you cut the debt? Everyone talks about cutting the debt. Everyone talked about it last time when they were running for city council. What is your plan on actually cutting the debt?
Let's really analyze the whole debt, the $1.2 billion. First of all, about $400 million of it is water-related, and thank goodness we have water. Chad, that we had to spend it to get it. Our sources are over 100 miles away, let's be quite honest with it, and with our situation. And thank goodness we're going to have water when other cities are worried about it. And so that, as we use that water, that will get paid down. The general fund debt is where we really have an issue. That's $187 million. That's 11.5% of our city's total debt. And that is where I believe I have made a proposal. I believe if I'm elected, I want to cap that for the next 2 years. And it, with the exception of emergency situations, that's the debt that's really, there is no revenue stream for that. We're just spending money that we don't have. And so that is my proposal, is to eliminate that debt. The revenue-based debt, it's going to take care of itself the way normal usage happens.
I want to go back briefly, and it's still the same subject, and that is that this $29 million is going into the general revenue fund. It is not necessarily going for alleys or for the things that Jeff is talking about. Now, back to the debt. Whether it's 1.2 or whether it's his figure, it doesn't matter. There is a place, as I mentioned earlier, on some taxes that, property taxes that were voted out and are still being taken. And, some of that money can be diverted. I've suggested in the past, and of course I've always been for paying down the debt. Now, I've said to slow down, freeze, whatever the word that you happen to want to use is, cap. I'm certainly in favor of that. But I also suggested that we consider a penny per dollar. And whereas that may add up to something, it is a slow, less painful way to get rid of this, which is what we all have to do at home.
You're listening to the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. We'll take the final break when we come back. I think we'll have just enough time for final statements.
One morning I woke up and I knew
back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. If y'all could hear some of the discussions we have during the break, it'd be amazing. We're going to go ahead and go move along with some closing statements. And Deanne Clark, tell folks why they need to get out and vote for you.
Well, I am going to tell them, first of all, because I'm willing to study and learn and give my heart and soul to this, and because I care about Lubbock, but mostly because I have become aware of what's going on, and I think it's time for us to make some changes, turn some directions, do some things that are strong. The campaigns, I think, up to this point have been pretty mild and moderate and compatible. As of late, there have been a negative turn or two to my particular campaign, in that I understand that at a Democrat social Sunday, my opponent said that I want dogs to run free. Well, my gosh, I don't. And that a relative of Maurice Stanley has put some ugly things on the Facebook about something that is not true. And then I have a brochure here, or a flyer that says that the politics of no. Well, again, it's choices, money management, where you want to spend the money. I believe my opponent and the prior opponent have kind of ganged up, so they have their own little war on women here, and I think it's time for us to stop all that kind of stuff, and I'm ready to serve.
All right, Jeff.
Chad, thank you for having us this morning. This has been fantastic, and we do appreciate you bringing awareness to this race. It is a very, very important time for Lubbock, Texas. And obviously, as we go forward, we've got serious issues. And I believe I'm the best candidate for the job. I am a product of District 3, grew up riding my bike around District 3. I went to Monterey High School. My kids went to Parsons Elementary. I have done business in District 3 for over 30 years. And I really love the center of our city. It's the heart and soul of our city, and the heart needs to be strong for the body to be whole. The district is, some neighborhoods are going through some issues that we need to take care of, and I assure you, I intend to preserve and protect those neighborhoods with proper code enforcement and proper police protection. I do believe that we need for our city to go forward, not backward. I'm a very positive individual that has looked at budgets for many years and know how to manage money and know how to live within my means. And I assure you, I can do a great job for our city going forward. I love this city. District 3 is very important to me, and I'm going to make it great, and I'm asking for your vote.
All right. Want to thank both of you for participating in today's debate here on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. And, of course, the runoff election continues. We have early voting right now, and that continues into next week. We have Election Day on June 21st, and I believe you two both have one more debate left on Monday. Is that correct? Monday, Chamber of Commerce debate.
Yes, 6 o'clock.
Okay, and so that's one debate that is left out there.